It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, welcome back to Davinson. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Part one was interesting. Joe had almost gotten into an altercation twice in the supermarket because Joe can't bite his lip, and Pip had her fist up a cat's ass. So that's what you missed in part one. Yeah. There was a prolonged segment about Pip talking about her cat being unable to poop. Well, I did not know that was going to be part of the show, and I don't think any of us will ever be the same, but it is what it is.
You never know what's going to happen on our show.
I never know what's going to happen at your house. Tell you what, I'm not fucking bringing my butt over there.
Oh, yeah, believe me, they'll get aloe rubbed on it.
Well, then maybe I will. Okay. So we got some interesting...
I'm good at it.
Yes, you are, I'm sure. Okay. My butt's a little pink hole, too. It's lovely. Anyway, all right, so... We got some cute little stories. We don't have cute little stories. What the fuck is wrong with me? The first story.
Who are you?
Stories.
All right. The first story we're going to talk about is Apple and Google are trying to join forces to try to let us know when we've been exposed to COVID-19. And, you know, it raises some interesting questions. So I tried to take out most of the technical stuff. But, you know, we'll discuss it because it raises interest whether people would opt in for that or not. So they're trying to apply technical sensibility and mass appeal to develop a huge program to help track and ultimately contain the spread of the coronavirus. But there's privacy concerns that are in question. And it's also a question of enough people would opt in. If enough people don't opt in, it's not going to work. So Apple and Google plan to help track the spread of the virus using Bluetooth technology. But they need as many as half of all Americans to participate, and likely more. So that's over 100 million people you need to opt in. Around, what is it, like 150 million around? Yeah, because there's like about 300 million, 325 million. So yeah, you're talking about 150 million people to opt in. Good luck. In order for the tracing scheme to work most effectively, according to the company officials and outside experts. So it's not just the user opt-in, but also sufficient testing, which we're not doing well with. And experts say even the tech company's solution could play an important role if we had enough testing and enough people opted in. The core idea behind the company's proposal is a time-tested way of controlling outbreaks, contact tracing, or the work of identifying who the pathogen is jumping from person to person based on the people they've been in contact with. So if I had dinner and there's six people here and four of the people got infected, then you trace to them. Then you got to figure out who they've seen, and then you trace to them. So it's just like it's a never-ending chain. And right now we have about 2,000 people in the United States that can do this, and we need a lot more than that. So that's where they are. So that's where this would kind of take the place of humans doing it. But it was used to trace Ebola. But they want to automate this. The first stage is set to launch next month. Apple and Google will create a way for public health officials to tap into a new...
That's the soundtrack for the app right there.
Seriously, COVID? Fucking... Can't you find yourself on my pillow and smother yourself? So they're going to let health officials tap into a new feature on Apple and Android's operating systems, specifically built apps that users will be able to voluntarily download for free. Only recognized public health authorities will be allowed to interact with the feature known as the NAPI. Company officials also said they are working directly with health agencies and in many cases have offered app templates to use as a starting point. People who test positive for the COVID-19, the companies have said, will be able to enter their results in the apps without revealing their identities to the public. Anyone else who's downloaded a compatible app that has been in direct contact with those patients will then receive a notification that they may have been exposed. So instead of location data, the entire system hinges on Bluetooth, the short-range wireless standard that many consumers already use for smartphones, earbuds, laptops, sound systems. The prospect of large-scale pandemic surveillance has many privacy advocates wary, saying it could ultimately open the door to more intrusive spying, even if it were to start with, you know, good intentions. Academics and industries have they're kind of flocking towards the Bluetooth over GPS proximity tracking, over GPS location tracking, because the geolocation data can be reverse engineered to deduce a person's identity. So the GPS, they can figure out who you are, whereas opposed to the Bluetooth, they don't think they can. There's still a privacy risk with the Bluetooth solution, but it's lower by comparison because it doesn't track where a smartphone goes, only that it came in contact with other devices. So it's like if you have Bluetooth on your phone and you have like a Bluetooth speaker, you turn it on, it knows that it contacted a speaker. It doesn't know who that speaker is. So let's see. I'm just trying to browse through this. Apple and Google can, people think that if they win over privacy skeptics, the plan still raises other challenges in implementation. How will health officials ensure no person is falsely reporting a positive test? Will their system record two people as having been in close contact, even if they're on opposite sides of a wall in separate apartments? That's interesting. The company said they are still looking into how test results should be reported to contact tracing system, but told reporters that the answer will likely come from health officials who are authorized to report cases and make public policy decisions. Without testing, these apps are not going to be of limited value, says Faiza Patel, director of the Liberty and National Security Program at New York University's Brennan Center of Justice. We're hoping to reach 500,000 tests per day over the next few weeks, but we need in the millions, and we are nowhere near that right now. The companies did not respond to questions about how the technology will handle instances where people may be in close proximity but not in actual contact. Researchers said it may be necessary to assume that more people have been in contact with each other than in reality. So better safe than sorry. The problem is you need large data set. So if you wanted this, to be the only measure to bend the curve, then you would need 60% participation in every country it's deployed. I don't really trust Apple and Google. You know, I seldom have my location on. I like to be off the grid as much as possible, though. Obviously, if I'm using a phone, I'm not off the grid. I don't think I would opt in.
I wouldn't either.
I would either.
Too intrusive. And it's just opening itself up to being more intrusive. I mean, it's bad enough, like if I'm at the day program and if I have to look for an item and I see the item, next thing you know, that item is coming up on my Facebook page.
Yep.
You know, it's coming up all over the place, and that's just looking for an item. This is going to be way more intrusive. I don't think it's a good idea. Plus, they haven't worked the bugs out of it yet.
You know, we put the poll question up, and it was unanimous. Everybody said they weren't opting in because you know we've been fooled so many times. Our trust has been violated so many times that we're like, you know what, we'll figure out some other way to track the virus.
Yeah, and the way everything is coming, well, is it going to be foolproof? No, not really. Well, are the results going to be right on the money? Maybe. You know, I mean, no, sorry.
Do you think, but since we have that, since a lot of people have that reaction, do you think they should make us opt in for safety?
No, you shouldn't.
I don't even know how it would be viable. Because you got children, a lot of children don't have smartphones, there's a lot of people who don't have smartphones, a lot of poor people don't have smartphones, you know, they have flip-tops, a lot of elderly people don't have smartphones.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they don't have a smartphone, they don't need one.
And honestly...
Yeah, well, the other thing is that once you have something in your phone, a device that you always have with you, or your Bluetooth, whatever, device, is this going to be one of those things where it is now latching onto your health information in general? And how do we know that that's not going to be worked into some kind of algorithm for ads like we already have?
Well, they want us to trust them.
Yeah. And think about this. Let's say it starts, you know, looking at your medical history. And you go for a job, and people start looking into your information. If you had a risk of having cancer or something like that, it could hinder an employer from hiring you because they feel their medical is pre-
well. That would violate HIPAA rules. I think. I don't think they can.
Yeah, HIPAA policies
don't have the HIPAAs don't have nothing to do with this. This is about a job. But
okay.
You know what? Though, all kidding aside, yeah, it would violate the HIPAA laws. But you want to know something? I mean. You get to a company who want to skirt around the laws or take their chances, it could hurt, you know, They're not going to give you, the reason they didn't hire you. They're not going to say, well, you might have not, you know, you had cancer previously. You might be a risk on our insurance. They're not going to tell you that, but they might say, well, the other candidate was more qualified, had a BA and you did, you know, stuff.
Yeah, but if it ever got traced back to them that they had this information and invariably everything comes clean, they would get in a lot of trouble too. But we don't trust them.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, but sometimes, you know, but that could be a, you know, deterrent if somebody getting hired.
How many times have we seen companies that, you know, have access to our credit card information having data breaches? Can you imagine them having a data breach with all of your health history?
Well, unless
not to say that that isn't already a risk with our insurance companies, but this would be, you know, people who gravitate towards hacking are going to gravitate towards hacking with companies that, you know, they want the big guns. They want Microsoft and Apple, you know?
Yeah, but you could make it so that it just records coronavirus. There's no stigma attached.
You could, but things don't work that way.
Well,
you know?
They're saying it will. You'd say you don't trust them. Here's the thing, though. I don't think we're going to get enough testing anyway to make this done. We are so far behind on the testing, and apparently we don't want to solve the problem. So apparently the states are going to argue with the president. The president's going to argue with the states, and we're just not going to solve this. Because what was it? Like the mayor of – was it Virginia? The mayor of Virginia had to use his South Korean wife to get some swabs from South Korea. That's where we are as a country. Now, I know that's not testing, but they don't have the agents for testing either. Swabs are part of the testing. Chemicals are part of the testing. We can't even get that shit done. That's where we are as a country. We got to have backroom deals from a mayor's wife to South Korea to get supplies. That's how far America has fallen. Don't tell me about America being great again. This is not the 40s when companies that made buttons all of a sudden were making fucking bullets. That ain't us. We're not doing it. We can't get gowns. We can't get masks. We can't get chemicals. We can't get cotton swabs.
But you gotta remember something. It was over. We're being overwhelmed with this, okay? And it takes time to get production ramped.
No, it's not enough. It's been over 3 months, and it's been more than that. And all he's got to do is the Defense Production Act. That's all he's got to do. He's not enforcing it. No more excuses. No more excuses. Get this shit done. You want to say we're the best. You want to say let's make America great again. This is basic shit. Enough. No more excuses. Not having it. But the reality is we don't have it. So I'm just saying we're not going to get enough testing for it. And you already see, you know, Joe and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. Are people going to get fed up and just go out? Well, Joe was right. People are fed up. They're going out. They don't give a shit that the cases are still rising in their states. The governors don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, more people are going to die, but we need to get a tattoo and go to the fucking bowling alley of all things. So, I mean, seriously. You know, but we're lucky. New York, fortunately, where the three of us live, fortunately, for the most part, people have kept their shit together. And we got a governor who can explain
because
things.
Because we've been hit the worst. We've been hit the worst here.
Yes.
You know, every part of the country is different.
I understand that. But don't open up the economy to fucking for the massage parlor to get your hair done, a fucking tattoo, and a bowling alley. Fuck you. Unless we're just opening up the trailer parks, I don't think we need to open that shit up yet.
You know,
are you
ridiculous.
I most certainly am. Because, again, these are the businesses they're opening up. Theaters, like to go see the movies, the gym, massage parlor, bowling alley, and tattoo parlors. Really? Those are the pressing concerns? Listen, Betsy's going to fucking graduate. It's a shame she can't walk the aisle, but we can certainly get her that tramp stamp. So really, open up the tattoo parlor. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's unbelievable.
Fucking Georgia. Georgia being Georgia. Georgia said, hold on, Alabama. Hold our teeth. We got some shit to do.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing that aggravates me about that. We don't have hard borders in the United States. So these motherfuckers, they're going to open up. The governor already said, yeah, more people are going to get it. And you know they're going to travel. They're going to infect it. And us, who's been locking down almost the longest, I think California had us beat by a week. But you know it's going to prolong how much we have to stay inside. Because these motherfuckers need to go bowling. Bowling? Who the fuck goes bowling? Are your 9-year-olds chomping at the bit to have some rectangular Elio's pizza and fucking you put the safe bumpers so they can fucking bowl? Is that what's going on, you lazy motherfucking parents? Get your fucking grip, Georgia.
What's really incredible to me, not just that people want to go out, that we have armed militias of people busting in to state capitals, and no one's stopping them.
Well, you got to shoot the virus, dear.
This is incredible. I mean, I'm going to say something that is probably, out of the realm of this topic for this article specifically, but I noticed the color of all the people that went barging in fully armed and, like, just, decided they were going to take over state capitals like it was a coup. If these were brown people, do you think they'd all be alive?
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. But here's the interesting thing.
Of course they would. Of course
yeah?
they would. Of course they would.
You think
you can't,
so?
Of course they would. I mean, you got a guy that's blatantly guilty robbing a store, and you take him down, and meanwhile the cops wind up going to jail because they were trying to enforce the law. Of course they would. And another thing is the whole thing is, and I don't know, it's at certain parts of the country, and at a certain point, you've got people that are losing their homes, losing their lives.
But that's a failure of the federal government. Because what the federal government should do, and from what I understand, most of the banks are doing this, but the federal government should go, listen, motherfuckers, to the banks. We bailed your ass out a decade ago. You're not collecting any mortgages or rent. Fucking none until this is over. And also, and I don't want to get into a whole big thing, the $1,200 stimulus, it's fucking insulting. You really can't do anything with $1,200. Nobody can get their unemployment anywhere. It's fucking insulting. Because here's the reality. The U.S. government prints money. Most of the countries in the world, they base their currency on the U.S. dollar. This is an outstanding situation. You need to fucking print money to keep people safe. We know they can do it. They fucking print money for everything else. Build the wall. Here you go. We need a bunch of tanks we're never going to use. Here you go. Bail out the oil companies. Here you go. Bail out the airlines who fuck us at every turn. Here you go. They can print some money. It's a failure. It's a failure of government. But I hear your point. But, Joe, to your point, I was watching the news, and one of these women down in Georgia, and this is just one person. Don't get me wrong, but I swear to God, she's like, no, nobody's going to tell me when I can get my hair cut. Really? Is that why you're out protesting? Stupid. Because your hair's a little shaggy.
Listen to me. There's plenty of bird brains running around out there.
Yes.
But it gets, we're starting to get to the point where people are ready to lose their life savings, lose everything. So there's got to be a tipping point to this.
And right.
Certain parts of the country, Wyoming is certainly different than Jersey. It's different than New York. So
But here's the thing. The federal government, and endorsed by the president, set guidelines. The CDC guidelines of how to open up. It was three steps. Now testing was not in there, which it should have been. That aside, they put three steps, how you progress through the three steps. And it's only a minority of people, by the way. But the places where they're protesting, they haven't even gotten to phase one yet. And then you have the president all of a sudden siding with the protesters because they're holding up a Trump flag. Motherfucker, these are your guidelines. See, that's the problem with Trump. He's all over the place. He's got the spine of a fucking jellyfish. He knows these morons will listen to him. He knows he just said listen to the governors after he said he has total power, but then was told he doesn't have total power. Fucking Pence is holding up the president's guidelines, the president's guidelines, the president's guidelines, and the next day Trump's like, what fucking guidelines? I can't. No more fucking excuses. I'm not gonna have it. Joe, I understand it. It's maddening. I get it. People are scared, and they should be scared. This is a really bad fucking situation, but this is a failure of government. Government is not realizing that we've never faced anything like this. Government's not looking at Denmark. We're going, oh, I see what Denmark's doing. Denmark is giving the company, all the businesses, the money to give people 90% of their salary, of their employment, while this shit goes on. Now, we're a lot bigger than Denmark. I get it. But we're also a lot richer than Denmark. We are failing at every turn. So that's why it is. So I get the people. But that being said, I get your, that doesn't make you, you're scared. That doesn't make you bring a Confederate flag in Michigan. Remember when Michigan fought with the South? No, neither fucking do I, because they never did. That doesn't mean you have to bring an AR-15 to a fucking rally. You're just trying to be a badass.
Look, I know there's a lot, look, the Yahoos, you know, the Yahoos are running wild on that. But like I
yeah. said,
and also if you print too much money, you stand a chance of devaluing the dollar.
That's going to happen. That's where we are. But what choice do we have? Every the good thing about this is the good thing
is maybe trying to get things going. I mean, it, it depends on certain parts of the country.
They do polls, though, and the vast majority of people are concerned about opening it up too soon. Yes. And the president gave us the president. The federal, the CDC gave his guidelines, which the president endorsed, which said how you open up. He just did that last week. The president's endorsements, the president's guidelines. You can't even wait fucking 24 hours until you're protesting when you're not following the guidelines. It's bullshit. It's
But like I said, a country like ours, people are not going to start to get restless. You know, of all things, Vic DiBattista, with all his rants, he had an idea on there that was actually the good. What they should do is the government should tell the banks that, you know, people with mortgages, at least on the mortgage side, people that have mortgages, give them 3 months, okay? And just take the mortgage and then put it on the back.
According to my wife, that's what they're doing. According to my wife, they're taking those 3 months and they're putting it on the back end. So if it was supposed to end in January.
Well, instead of if you've got argument's sake, another 10 years on your mortgage, now you have 10 years and 3 months.
Right.
You know, and that's what they should do. You know, and that was a great idea.
But here's the problem. It's a great idea. But that guideline, that guidance has not come from the federal government. I think the banks are looking at it and they're doing it I think most of them are doing it. But again, we're not getting any leadership. We're getting bullshit. And that's what it is. And the president even said, yeah, I think these people like me. They would listen to me. And instead he's like, liberate Michigan. Motherfucker, nobody's captured Michigan. They're following your guidelines. The governors are following your guidelines, what they have to do to start opening up. And then you turn on, it's fucking chaos because the guy is playing politics. That's what it is. That's what this shit is. But whatever. I get that people are scared and it's real and they have a right to be scared, Joe. I hear that. I feel that. That being said, it's a failure of government not stepping up to meet the need of the people. That's just the reality. If you want to play Pelosi or Schumer or Trump or McConnell, whatever, you can do all that. I don't give a shit. I have my opinions. You have your opinions. Any way you slice it, the government has failed. Okay.
Well, that's what happens when you try to put the least trust in government as you can. And this is where what everybody wants, everything socialized. Well, that's what's going to say. So you're going to trust.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
The government. So this is who's going to be running it, and that's how it's going to be done.
But here's the problem with that argument. The social democratic countries like Denmark are taking care of their people. That's the fucking difference. And you pay higher taxes.
The country's about the size of Georgia. So you're talking about a population that's not even the size of the United States.
Well, this is not working, Joe. It, by your own admission, this is not working. So we got, you know. Whatever.
But we're seeing a place that it does work.
Right.
You know,
so what we're
smaller doesn't mean that the ideas are bad.
Right.
You know, just like you multiply the recipe.
What? You're saying it's not working. What did we do the last time? Where's the temple?
There has been no last time. The last time there was a pandemic, our president, Obama, sent the doctors to fucking Africa to make sure that Ebola got fucking contained there, and we only wound up having two cases here. That's what happened the last time. It didn't come over here.
You know what?
And Africa is a different place than China. Do you think that Trump would be able to send doctors to China?
Yes, we had doctors in China. We had doctors in China. In 2015, under the Obama administration, Chinese doctors and American doctors were working together in country to fight pandemics. Trump, under the Trump administration, that has disappeared. I'm not sure if he recalled them, if he stopped the funding, but it disappeared, I want to say, in 2018. And And I don't want to make this a whole Trump thing, and don't fucking tell me that Xi is your best friend and fucking thank China and call my bestie and then blame China. Listen, motherfucker, you made yourself the cheap diplomat. You gutted the State Department where we had professional diplomats. You told us what a great relationship you have. Don't fucking cry to me when that motherfucker lied to you. That's on you, bitch. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing about it is when you're doing business, you keep your enemies close to you, and sometimes you have to pass.
Yeah, and China did a great job of that. They bent him right over.
Well, China did a great job of keeping the numbers out of what was going on.
Yes, they did. Maybe we shouldn't have sent off a tweet thanking them.
They fudged the numbers.
Yes, because they're China. Yes, because they're China. That's what they do. That's why you don't fucking kiss their ass.
You're also dealing with a situation that has changed day by day, week by week. We've never faced something like this before.
No, that's actually not true.
That's yep.
We had the Spanish flu, and what we did there is that they opened up and had people going back into going back to work too soon. And what they did is they saw an exponential rise in the cases in the second wave. That's what we did.
But I'm talking about a situation that our generation has never been.
If only things that happened in the past were written someplace where we could look at them. If only such a tool existed. Come on, man. Let's move on. No more fucking excuses. Yeah. If I was as incompetent at comedy, I wouldn't even be a fucking open micer. Let's be honest about this shit. If you were as incompetent, Joe, at selling plumbing supplies, you would no longer be selling plumbing supplies. You'd be selling fucking pens on the subway train. So let's.
You know what? If you're overwhelmed with something and everything is changing on a day-by-day
basis. No overwhelmed. No overwhelmed when you say I alone can fix this. No overwhelmed. I alone. No overwhelmed. I'm sorry. You don't get that. You don't get that when you say I alone can fix this. Then you go, I take no responsibility. Nay, nay, my friend. Nay, nay. I'm not going to let you have it tonight. I'm just not. I don't want to fight with you, but I'm not going to have the excuses. Too many fucking failures. Guys,
What
would I do?
Right now, what would you do?
Right now? This shit would never have gotten this bad under me. First of all, I would have kept working with China. What would I do? I would have kept working with China. I never would have had my doctors come out of China. And I would have Chinese doctors here. So we had a partnership like what used to be. Then when my scientists, my cabinet, my most trusted people said, listen, we got a problem. I would not spend time on the golf course, or in my case, the softball field. I would not be doing fucking rallies. I'd be gathering the fucking brightest mind and go, what can we do? We're going to lose lives. How can we keep this as low as possible? That's what I would do. That's what every other president... Well, I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. That's what a smart person would do. But yeah.
Okay, now in a real-world context, how do you watch it? And how do you pitch to a country that everything is being shut down when there's no evident cases yet?
How do you do it? Because that's what you do. You're the leader. You're the president. If you have trust, which nobody trusts this motherfucker, let's be honest about it. But if people did trust you, that's what you do. That's where all your political capital comes in. That's where the 3.5 years of being a great president and honest with the folks and telling them what's going on, good or bad, that's where you have that fireside chat and go, listen, look across the ocean. It's not happening here. The best people in the world are working on this. It's going to happen here if we don't shut down now. I know you're saying, but everything's good now. But it's not going to be. We have to change. And if you have the trust and the political...
that is a hard sell. And I don't
yes, it is. But that's what you got to do.
FDR, nobody would go for that.
No, but that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. That's why it's so important to be honest with the American public. So that when the shit hits the fan, we go, all right, I don't like this. But, you know... 8 times out of 10, because they all lie a little bit. 8 times out of 10.
That's a tough sell. Even FDR.
That's the gig. I alone can fix this. I alone can fix this. I didn't say it. You believed it. I never believed it. I alone. When you say I alone can fix it, listen, motherfucker, you don't get excuses. When you got the balls to go to the American people and go, I alone can fix this, you don't get to say I take no responsibility. Nay, nay. Now, there is the 35 to 40% who give them credit and don't give it, or they're fine with it, but the rest of us are paying attention. Let's move on. Shall we?
Yeah. No, I
want to
argue some more.
Okay, good. Then why don't you go to the supermarket in the frozen food section? There's a guy waiting for you. And then why don't you go on like three aisles over to the pasta? There's a lady who's got a mind for you about your fucking direction in there. You can argue all you want.
Joe's off to the supermarket.
Joe's like, I've not had enough. What time does the market close? I got shit to do. Joe walks in, the little hamburger helper glove fucking hides its face because he doesn't want to argue with Joe.
Let me tell you something. I've gone to the supermarket with you, and you're no joy. When we were working the comedy, the place in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Yeah.
And we were trying. We go in the supermarket that night. We're trying to find some meat. Jesus Christ, you are an ogre.
Was I?
Oh, God almighty, you are a surly motherfucker. Holy cow. Jesus Christ, they don't have any fucking food here. It's a supermarket still.
All right.
Well,
he was hangry.
I was hangry. Thank you, Pip. They didn't, Joe, they didn't have rotisserie chicken. What supermarket doesn't have rotisserie chicken? That's one of the things you have. Even Walmart has rotisserie chicken. You bring the rotisserie chicken, and it should be no more than $6.99.
Let me tell you something. The supermarket
see, Pip,
near
that's
me?
That's my point, yeah. And he damn well remembers because that's what he was all sore in the ass about.
I figured that's what it was. Yeah. I don't really remember, but I figure that's probably something what it would be.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Don't fucking people here know about nutritious? There's no fucking just, well, there's a chicken finger place, a place that sells just chicken fingers.
Oh, that's like, right. That's when I was watching what I was eating. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, that's right. You're right, because I went to McDonald's, and they were out of salad, and that pissed me off.
Right, because the goal was trying to eat nutritious on tour. And like I said, there was one time, I think we were going to Michigan. We leave New York, and we're like, we're going to eat nutritious on this tour. There wasn't a fucking leaf of salad during that whole week and a half. There was nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's impossible to eat. It really is impossible to eat well on the fucking road. It really is.
Well, with us, it is.
It's always been though.
All right, let's. What the fuck's going on with that? All right, let's move on. So this is about nurses that got suspended because they refused to work without N95 masks. So let's see. I want to try to summarize this. The N95 masks take out about 95% of all airborne particles, including ones that are too tiny to be blocked by regular masks. But administrators at St. John's Health Center in Santa Monica did not provide them to the nurses. And then somebody in the ward came down with COVID-19, and the doctors are like to the nurses, "Why aren't you wearing the N95 mask?" And they weren't given them. So they refused to work. So the hospital suspended them, according to the National Nurses Union. Now, they are being suspended with pay, but they're not allowed to return until this investigation wraps up. They're among hundreds of doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers across the country who say they've been asked to work without adequate protection. Some have taken. But now, I can vouch for this because the wife has had the 3D printer going for the week where she's making mask attachers. She's making reusable N95 masks and the shields because they can't get them. So I can attest to this. This is not real. This is not some fake shit that the news is making up. It's very real. At least in this region of the country, it's very real. So guidelines from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention don't require N95 masks for COVID-19 caregivers, but many hospitals are opting for the added protection because the infection has proven to be extremely contagious. The CDC said on Wednesday at least 9,200 healthcare workers have been infected. St. John said in a statement that as of Tuesday, it was providing N95 masks to all nurses caring for COVID-19 patients and those awaiting test results. The statement said the hospital had increased its supply and was disinfecting masks daily. Disinfecting masks before this was never a thing. You were supposed to use it after one patient, not one fucking day, not keep on reusing it. After you used it with one patient, you threw it away. This is a new thing because we don't have enough masks. Let's see. So another nurse fell ill with it and said hospital managers and doctors were wearing N95 masks, but nurses weren't. She says they told her that the CDC said surgical masks were enough to keep her safe. Then she was hit with a dry cough, severe body aches, and joint pain. And then, you know, she tested positive. Now she's recovering. So as we've been discussing, we have a critical shortage Some exasperated healthcare workers have complained to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I fear retribution for being a whistleblower and plead to please keep me anonymous, wrote a Tennessee medical worker who complained staffers were not allowed to wear their own masks if they weren't directly treating COVID-19 patients. In Oregon, March 26, a complaint warned that masks were not being provided to nurses working with suspected COVID-19 patients. Another Oregon complaint alleged nurses are told that wearing a mask will result in disciplinary action. A New Jersey nurse was asked not to be named out of fear of retribution, said she was looking for a new job after complaining to OSHA. So some are taking to the streets. So you might have seen them protesting. I'm just trying to see what else there is in this. I'm trying to summarize this quick. So 10 nurses from the facility have tested positive with COVID-19. All right. So that's the gist of it. We nurses are refusing not to work if they don't get the N95 mask. Well, my wife actually made something now. They're not certified N95, but the filter is actually like 7 layers, I think, because she ordered like a vacuum cleaner filter, like one of those HEPA filters. So it's actually kind of hard to breathe until you get used to it. But yeah, now my sister-in-law, who's a physical therapist in a nursing home, she has COVID-19 now because they weren't given
sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah, she's doing okay. I mean, she doesn't have a severe case, but she's got the body aches, the fever, you know, whatever. The larynx, you know, she doesn't have a voice. She's sick, but she should be okay, thankfully. You know, fingers crossed. I mean, you never know. A lot of times people get on the 10th day, it all goes tits up. So, you know, fingers crossed. But they weren't really given the proper equipment. I don't think, I mean, the president has called this a war. He called himself a wartime president. Okay. With that in mind, our medical professionals are our soldiers in this war. I don't think you should send your soldiers into battle without the proper equipment. Now, we did it in the Iraq War, where we sent Hummers in without fucking armor. Then small towns had to do fundraisers for that, which was bullshit. But if you pride yourself again as being the best country in the world, we're number one. You can't do this. You can't expect these people to risk their lives, their family lives. They are, just by being exposed to them, you're risking the sick people, you're risking your lives. You got to give them the proper equipment. You wouldn't ask a police officer to work without a bulletproof vest. You wouldn't give a fireman, you wouldn't have a fireman run into a burning building without their fire retardant coat. You just wouldn't do that.
Well, here's a twofold thing on this. And once again, I'm going to say that this is something that we have not experienced before. Yes, we were unprepared, and yes, we're trying to get everybody everybody prepared. We're trying to improvise and trying to do the best we can with masks till we get the regular masks in. With that being said, for a hospital to say that they're going to suspend you if you wear a mask, if you wear an improvised mask, is unconscionable. And that hospital should be sued. They're handling the situation wrong. Why? So, there's no problem here. And if you wear a mask, are you kidding me? You know, you have your people improvise. You try to get the masks you can. You improvise, and then and you work with the staff to get this done. You don't penalize them for wearing a mask, and you don't tell them that you shouldn't be wearing a mask. You know, and the hospital should be sued.
Well, I agree with you, but the thing is that suing someone is an after the fact reaction, and they're in it right now. So, they're saying, look, we've seen people get sick and we've seen health professionals dying. And, just saying, well, that's not right. Well, that's not going to keep them healthy, and that's not going to keep them from dying. So what are they supposed to do right now?
What they're supposed to do for the moment is that the hospital should have something that we need to improvise something. Let's improvise a way to do this,
But they have improvised. But Joe, again, why are we asking our first responders in the hospitals to improvise? It's ridiculous.
Because we're hit with a situation that we've never been faced before.
But the president can put the Defense Production Act.
Enough with the president and stuff like that. Okay, knock it off. You got to look at it.
No, that's a power he has. That's a power he has. He can tell every clothing manufacturer
along with your wife and make the fucking mask.
No. Okay. No, stupid. Listen, the president has the power. It's one of his powers, the Defense Production Act. He can tell every clothing manufacturer, you're not making jeans and T-shirts until we have enough masks and enough gowns. He has that power. It's what we did in World War II. Remember Rosie the Riveter? That's why that shit happened, because the president said, hey, guess what? We need fucking bullets. We need planes. We need tanks. You're not making fucking Buicks and sewing machines anymore. That's what you do. That's what you, and he hasn't done it. So that's why I say, you can't fucking protect this guy anymore. He's failed at everything he's doing, he's ever
he
done in his life.
What would the Democrats do differently?
I just told you. The Defense
really
Production Act.
Believe she would have done that. We really would have honestly believed she would have done that.
Who?
Who? Hillary Clinton.
Any other president would have, of course.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they?
It's a situation we never had before.
We're 4 months into it. What, you got to be 2 years into it? We've never seen it? This isn't January 26th. It's fucking April 21st.
What happened was the Kennedy Center would have got another $100 million.
No, you're distracting. You're distracting. I'm not going to let you do it.
I'm telling you basic things.
No, you're distracting. Okay. You have no answer. You have no answer because any president, Republican or Democrat, would have put in. It's not a partisan thing. It's just something you do. Shit, we're up against it. This is something I can do. And by doing that, by the way, you're covering your own ass, because then you don't have people like me and everybody else going, well, why don't you do this? Because you did it. That's why.
It's a situation that we are working in a situation that's unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented. And we've seen other countries deal with it. We've seen other countries. It didn't start here. It started in Asia. We've seen other countries. Enough with the excuses. Nobody else gets to fucking fail at their job so badly and get excuses. No more excuses.
I don't see it failing so badly. You've got China who restricted and fudged the numbers, and you've got countries the size of a small state. And you're comparing that to this.
South Korea is a small state?
It's smaller than the United States, I believe.
Canada is a small state?
Canada is. And how is Canada handling it?
Much better than us.
And how are they handling it?
I just told you, much better than us.
But give examples.
They don't have the death per capita we do. They're testing a lot more than we are. They're not having people from provinces call South Korea to work fucking deals.
And what's the population compared?
Holy
to
shit!
The United States?
You just got excuse after excuse. It fucking your boy is a failure. He has failed at everything he's ever done in life. Everything. What marriage? Failure.
You're not talking about populace.
What?
You're talking about geography.
Oh my God! We have more. Just say it. America's not number one because things are too hard and too complicated. Okay, let's move on. That's it.
No. Stop being so anti-American. Okay, we're facing a situation that we never faced before.
And when do we meet that? When do we rise to the occasion? When do we do what every other generation before us has done when shit hits the fan? You know, no other fucking generation got bombed in Pearl Harbor. We fucking rose to the occasion. No other generation had to face the red wall that was communism. We met the fucking challenge. No other generation had to deal with, oh shit, Russia got to space before us. We met the fucking challenge. When do we meet the challenge? When do we not go?
And you gave three examples that for things that took at least a year to 2 years to accomplish. It's been 3 months.
It's been 4 months. Been four and a half months. Almost 5 months.
All right, you're talking about four and a half months. Okay, on a situation which those situations were certain, you know, uncertain and changing, but you're dealing with an unprecedented situation that has been changing day by day.
Hey,
we've been learning stuff,
Joe,
every week.
Joe, you know what? Being president is hard. It's more than firing off tweets. Who would have fucking known? Kind of like healthcare. No, we're going to have healthcare. It's going to be so beautiful. Then who knew healthcare was going to be this difficult? Everybody knew. Enough. No more excuses. Fucking, if you can't do the job, resign. Let Pence fucking be president. Enough. Let's have some fucking competence. No more excuses. Not going to tolerate it. Nobody else can suck at their job as much and have all these excuses. Trust me. When I have a bad show, I don't have five audience members go, well, these people were heckling over here, and the waitress dropped the drink over there, and, you know, he kind of got a shitty intro. Nobody gives a shit. You fucking fail or you succeed. That's it. Okay. Time for television doctors.
Wait till November.
What'd you say?
Wait till November.
What's that have to do? What's that have to do with now?
When it gets another 4 years.
Okay. Well, fine, Joe. I don't know if that's what you're relying on. If that's your answer, that really has nothing to do with the topic at hand. But okay.
No, it does, because a lot of people realize that, you know, there are results getting done, and that people realize that there is giving a hope. We're trying to get through this.
So, Joe, if you've looked at the polls, and again, polls are polls, so whatever, take what you want. But you're saying, but only because you're saying a lot of people realize. So that's the only reason I'm going down this road with the polls. He's underwater. People don't trust him. Left and right, they don't trust him. They trust Fauci more. They trust their governors more. They don't think he took it seriously right away. It's in the plus side. And that's Republicans, too. He's being weighed and measured. And then the constant flailing around at the press conferences that we've talked about, that certainly isn't helping. So
let's have a quick talk. Let's have a quick talk about the press conference.
I haven't watched them in a while, and I've been a happier person.
All right, let's have a quick chat about the press conference.
Again?
Okay. All right, with the press conferences, he has got a problem. What the problem is, and I noticed, is that he can't do a rally. So he's trying to make a rally at the press conference.
Yes, a lot of people have noticed that. Yes.
And that now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's doing nothing. And that's been a big problem.
Yes, okay? Joe. But that's part of it. That's part of what this guy is. It's part of not being able to meet the challenge. It's part of going, wow, I can't do rallies, but I have, you know, either don't say anything or just focus on the facts. Even you say, what other president would do this? And this is something we would agree on. Every other president. You can't have it. It's not rally time. Once you get this shit under control, then it's rally time.
In that small area.
It's a big area, man, because that's what people are tuning into watching. We're used to turning into our president and getting more or less some version of the truth. We're used to getting consistency. We're not used to them fighting and getting personal with the press every goddamn day, even though they all hate the press, whether justifiably or not. We can argue about that, but who cares? That's why I'm saying this guy's in trouble, because people weren't paying attention to Mueller. People were not paying attention to Ukraine. They just weren't. The Democrats were paying attention. Politicians were paying attention. We were paying attention. A lot of people were not paying attention. That's fine. People are paying attention to this shit because because people they know and love have died, because they're out of work. People are paying attention to us. So that's why when you say wait till November, I'm not so confident. But anyway, let's move on. And I've said all along, the Democrats should win in a fucking landslide, but they're the Democrats and they can fuck it up. So that's why I'm...
And we'll end it there.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm realistic, man. I understand. George W. Bush was ripe for the picking. They had a fucking war hero, but the Republicans were so crafty, they made Kerry the pussy, and the W, who was the pussy, into the war hero. I am fully aware of the Democrats' ability to fuck shit up. I am not delusional.
Yeah, believe me, they'll throw Biden under the bus by August.
That would put you in an interesting pickle. I would love to have those conversations.
But you can't, come on, you can't sit there and be a Democrat and go, Biden's my man. Are you kidding me? He thinks we're fighting the Koreans again. You know?
Well, actually, we might be, Joe. So the Koreans aren't that far-fetched.
Yeah.
Out of all the countries... You know, you would have been better. That joke would have been better. He thinks we're fighting the British again. That's how that joke would have worked.
We just got a 10-minute long time on policy. All right, we'll stop. We'll workshop the joke.
Well, there's no reason why comedy can't take precedent. That is the show.
That's the show, folks that are listening.
Yeah. Listen, we could be in each other's jugular, but a joke's a joke. There's no reason why a joke should suffer.
Always time for a bit. I don't give a shit what we're debating.
Sure. No reason for a joke to suffer over politics. I will not have that on my watch.
Now, we could shake hands. Well, fist bump or elbow bump on that.
Here, I am fist bumping the screen.
Very good. There you go. Hysterical.
All right. Oh, wow. All right. TV doctors.
Funny.
Let's see. So let's start with, so we had Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, not a doctor, and Dr. Drew all talking and giving their opinions. So we'll play it for you and we'll discuss what they said and all that good nonsense. Hold on a second. This coming up first is Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, help us. Well, first, we need our mojo back. Let's start with things that are really critical to the nation where we think we might be able to open without getting into a lot of trouble. I tell you, schools are a very appetizing opportunity. I just saw a nice piece in The Lancet arguing that the opening of schools may only cost us 2-3% in terms of total mortality. And, you know, that's any life is a life lost. But to get every child back into a school where they're safely being educated, being fed, and making the most out of their lives with a theoretical risk in the backside, it might be a trade-off some folks would consider. We need to get industry back, supply lines. I mean, things that we can do without putting the nation at risk.
Okay, so Dr. Oz was referencing an article that appeared in the Lancet Journal of Child and Adolescent Health, which cites a study that found school closures in the UK will reduce COVID-19 deaths by only 2-4%. So it appeared that Oz was arguing that getting kids back into a normal learning environment is more important than reducing overall coronavirus deaths by a small margin. His comment infuriated many viewers who say the statement callously undervalues the lives of Americans. The Dr. Oz show host has since apologized and saying he misspoke when he minimized the risk and potential loss of life. I've realized my comments about risks around opening schools have confused and upset people, which was never my intention. I misspoke. As a heart surgeon, I spent my career fighting to save lives in the operating room by minimizing risks. He continued, at the same time, I'm being asked constantly, how will we be able to get people back to their normal lives? To do that, one of the important steps will be figuring out how do we get our children safely back to school. We know for many kids, school is a place of security, nutrition, and learning that is missing now. These are issues we are all wrestling with, and I will continue looking for solutions to beat the virus. I got it. It's always very jarring when a doctor says, 2-4% of life will deal with it. That's a lot of people. I don't know what 4% of 325 million is, or 2% of 325 million, but I know it's a lot of people. I know it's a lot of people. And when you start putting faces to those people, I mean, listen, he's a TV guy, but he's a doctor. Honestly, I feel he's got to know better. I feel he's got to do better.
He's unbelievable.
Well, when you speak, basically when you speak on that, sometimes, he was speaking in terms of statistics, 2-3%. At this juncture, I would say it's too soon. It's going to be a wait and see sort of thing. But the whole thing with getting kids back to school is that people can't go to work if they have their kids at home, and it suffers economically. So basically what it is, and like I'm saying, is not at this juncture, maybe not in this area, there will have to be a point where we need to look and decide where the tipping point is.
Right, but if Oz is saying 2-4%, that makes me think that he's expecting that the virus will still be prevalent out there. And listen, nobody's sending their kid to school to get sick. Teachers aren't showing up. Custodians aren't. Well, maybe custodians will show up. Maybe some teachers will show up. But most people are not going to send their kid to school if they think the virus is there's a good chance of getting the virus. It's just not going to happen. Then the kid comes home to grandma, or the kid has an autoimmune deficiency. We know a lot of kids are sick. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The thing I liked about the apology is, I'm going to continue to search for ways. That's a good idea. This is not a good way. That's the problem. And because he's a TV guy, I say he should know better. You're on TV every day. You know your words matter. You got to do better, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing. I just quickly did the math. 2% of the population of the United States is 6.5 million people.
It's a lot of fucking people.
And that was the low end of what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, and I talked about it in my blog, is that we are so celebrity-awed
by, you know, the cult of personality, the cult of celebrity now, that we look at anybody who's on television, like a game show host that might become the leader of the country, that we look at them like they are somebody better than a normal person just by virtue of the fact that we see them coming over on the screen. It has nothing to do with their real,
area of expertise.
Or their training.
Well, he was. That's the,
I mean,
that's the
I'm
problem.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on television.
But no, he, no, he's a doctor. He's a doctor.
I know he.
But the
I
problem
know he's
is,
a doctor. I know, but he's not. He's not skilled. He's not got his expertise in this particular
right.
area.
That's the problem. He. This is not his area of expertise. So he should not be speaking on it. And really, Fox News should not be putting him up there. Like some type of expert. Listen, if you want to get a contradictory opinion than Fauci, that's fine. You can do that, but get somebody in the same field.
Yeah, get an epidemiologist.
Yeah.
You don't want to have somebody. There's a cardiothoracic surgeon. Yes, he's had medical training. He's not an expert in this field, and not only that, but he's made his career on hawking snake oil, literally. On television.
Yeah, but snake oil is good for my skin.
Had him in there, and they were raking him over the coals because he was making promises about these things that he was selling that no one could prove.
Well,
and
his...
he's just, you know, stealing people's money, saying, this can do this for you, this can do that for you. That I mean, the first oath, the Hippocratic Oath, is first do no harm. I don't know that he's true to that. And so this is not the person that we want to be taking our guidance from in this crucial time.
Okay. So.
Well, he did admit he misspoke on that, you know, and basically when you're giving out that percentage, you know, when you look at the real numbers and it's the whole thing where every, you know, you have to look at the situation. Should we reopen the schools? Well, 2-3%. Well, that's going to be a lot of people. All right. We may have to wait a little longer on that. It's just a waiting game, you know, and trying to figure it out.
But the problem is, he never should have been put in that position. Fox News did that on purpose, and he should know better to speak on it. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to know when you're out of your depth. And,
yes.
You know, Fox News, they want to push a certain narrative, apparently, because we're going to see a level of consistency. And Dr. Oz is willing to be a willing participant. So I can't let him off for that. I mean, yes, it's good he took it back. But you know what? You're supposed to be a learned man. You're not some dumbass from the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. You're a learned man. You know what you know and what you don't know. Do better. Okay. Let's go to Dr. Not a Doctor Oz. I apologize. That's not who I wanted. I want Doctor, not a Dr. Phil. I apologize. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Psychologist, author, and host of Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil, thanks so much for being on with us. I think this isn't part of the calculation of, you know, the bending the curve and all of those graphs that we see, and they're very interesting. I'm not saying they're not important, but those comments aren't taken into consideration when we look at those graphs.
Well, Laura, they never are, and thank you for having me on, and thank you for giving a voice to this, because it's so very important. This is invisible. I can't show you an x-ray of depression. I can't show you an x-ray of anxiety, but the fact of the matter is, the longer this lockdown goes on, the more vulnerable people get, and it's like there's a tipping point. There's a point at which people start having enough problems in lockdown that it will actually create more destruction and actually more death across time than the actual virus will itself. 250 people a year die from poverty. And the poverty line is getting such that more and more people are going to fall below that because the economy is crashing around us. And they're doing that because people are dying from the coronavirus. I get that. But look, the fact of the matter is we have people dying. 45,000 people a year die from automobile accidents, 480,000 from cigarettes, 360,000 a year from swimming pools. But we don't shut the country down for that. But yet we're doing it for this. And the fallout is going to last for years because...
Okay, so that is Dr. Phil. Before I get started, I'm not a fan of Dr. Phil. I thought when he used to have like scam victims on all the time, and we were doing a lot of that stuff, and I was dealing with a lot of victims, I said I feel Dr. Phil exploits people. So, I just before I give my opinions, I should make that much. No. That being said, I wouldn't mind being on a show, but that's not the point. Hey, I'm honest.
Will Devin.
What?
Will Devin, when you speak out the way you do.
You know, Joe, if you grow a cheesy mustache, you could go as Dr. Phil for Halloween.
Oh, God.
Listen, man, here's the thing. Well, first of all, 360,000 people die every year from swimming pool accidents. That's not true. According to the CDC, between 2005 and 2014, the average was 3,536. He missed just a little.
just a little.
he clarified that. He clarified that. And like I said, he's not a licensed physician. He's a PhD. Again, why is he fucking talking about shit he shouldn't be talking about? He's not an MD.
Right.
So people came after him. Now, Dr. Phil's points about shutting down, throw those away. He's a fucking moron when it comes to that, and he proved it. That being said, if you watch the interview, he does have valid concerns about how this is affecting people mentally and emotionally, because this is very hard. This is very stressful. A lot of people are freaked out. They're concerned. They don't know where their next paycheck's coming from. They don't know where their kids are going to go to school. They got to get out of the house. They're fighting with the wife. They're living with a domestic abuser. A lot of valid concerns. Dr. Phil could have spoken to those things, talk about some simple techniques, play phone numbers you could reach out to get help, things like that. And that way, Dr. Phil would have been speaking to his strength as a psychologist and would have come across as very credible. But again, in my opinion, Fox News is pushing some type of agenda, and Dr. Phil was willing to be a patsy, so therefore he gets no fucking credit for shit that he was actually right about.
Well, you are right in that sense. Basically, I don't know how they manipulated that, but basically he was correct on the whole thing of how it affects, on a social level. Where he was wrong, and a couple of people make the mistake. I actually correct my own brother on that, is when they say, well, people die of smoking, people do that. Well, nobody decided to take up COVID-19.
Joe, bored. Can I have a hacking cough? Can we get COVID-19?
Yeah, you weren't T-boned by a drunken COVID-19 coming home from the bar, So on those numbers, they're incorrect to compare it. I would agree. He should have went more on, where his expertise lies on those points that he brought up and as well as you brought up. But you got to remember, it's entertainment. It's entertainment. The news has not, has gone on to be an entertainment.
Right. But we know that. But a lot of people, especially people who watch that channel, do not realize that. They look at these pundits a lot of ways as real news, and the people who are doing the news during the day as fake news. That's just reality. They've done surveys and all. The Fox News audience is the least educated, not by schooling or anything, not that I know, but they know the least about current events and everything. And this is part of it. They're pushing some type of agenda, which I don't understand. And you can't even say the president is pushing this thing, because sometimes the president's like pushing stay at home and we have to do this and we have to shut it down. And then the next day he's saying open up. So I don't even know why Fox is trying to align itself with President Trump's agenda, because President Trump's agenda can change in the middle of a press conference. So I don't know what the purpose of this is, other than
What they're trying to align themselves is that the people don't know when this is going to end. I guess what Fox is doing is they're kind of shining a light that these might be steps to take to start to come back from what we've gone through. Whether the steps are correct, whether the steps are opinion, whether the opinion that they're giving is correct or incorrect, it's what they're putting out. They're putting out entertainment. You watch a show about cars, you watch a show about nature, you watch a show,
this is life. You have said through the course of this show repeatedly, we've never faced anything like that before. So let's take that for what it is. Say you were correct. We've never faced anything like that before. Then the news should not be going business as usual. We're just going to entertain. Hey, what's going on with the Clinton Foundation? Nay, nay. We realize this is something we've never dealt with before. We need to lead with our news. They're not doing that.
Of course. The news is about ratings. Ratings is about money, and that's all we care about.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I can't argue that point. It's just disappointing.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you went on, for example, you went on a show. You've gone on shows for expertise on scammers.
Sure.
If you felt that it would keep the ball rolling, give yourself a name, give the show a name, would you go on and kind of gear yourself to an agenda if this was your, you know, the main thing that's keeping a roof over your head?
No. And I'll tell you why I know this for a fact. Because I know my ability, because I have gone in these shows, I can be entertaining, keep it moving, be a memorable guest, and stick to what I want to talk about, which are the facts and the reason I'm there. And I can say that about myself is because producers kept on asking me to come back. I kept on getting asked back, and I stuck, you know, it would have been really easy for me, for instance, just to blow out. You know, I could have gone on there if I want to sensationalize things, go, you know, scam victims are really stupid. I can't believe they fall for this. I mean, these are the steps. They should know. Buh, 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 buh. I could have ruined my brand and created quote-unquote fucking headlines if I didn't want to be true to myself. But I know I'm entertaining enough, and let's be honest, Dr. Oz is entertaining enough, Dr. Phil is entertaining enough, Dr. Drew, who we'll get to, is entertaining enough. They can be entertaining and stick to the fucking facts. Dr. Phil wasn't boring when he was talking about the areas of his real expertise and the damaging effects this has on people. I found them actually more interesting because it actually seemed like he knew what he was fucking talking about. So no.
Right.
To answer your question, I would not do that, and I know I wouldn't do that because I've been in that position.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we all agree Phil should have stuck to what he knows, and Fox was going for ratings. We all can make those general agreements.
Fox, CNN, they all are.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be. But these people appeared on Fox, so that's why we're talking about this. All right. So then there's Dr. Drew. You guys know who Dr. Drew is?
He's a murderer.
What?
He's a murderer. He kills more celebrities with his antics.
Yeah.
You're talking about celebrity. God. See, now Joe is making headlines and being true to his brand.
I know.
You're talking about all the people who went to celebrity rehab and then they were cleared and it did not work out.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
No.
I got to tell you, I used to watch that show. I know.
I did too.
It's very morbid. It really says how fucking depraved I am because you see these people battling their demons to stay healthy. But it was fine entertainment.
Yeah.
It was really, really so voyeuristic and it was really appealing to our darker natures, but I'll admit I was riveted.
And here's the interesting thing. Yeah. Dr. Drew, when you watch those, he seemed like a good guy.
He did.
That's television for you.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's like when you watch that 400-pound life where you watch these
600-pound. Joe, don't you shortchange these people. 600-pound life.
A 600-pound.
400 pounds is nothing, my friend. 600 pounds, you got a show.
And you watch this show where the doctor's trying to tell them to lose weight. They don't. They're very needy. They have somebody always have the enabler, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're just watching these people just shoot their lives, and you're just sitting there riveted, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
yeah. So, it's the dark side. It's the dark side of our psyche that keeps these shows going.
So Dr. Drew apologized for...
Well, Dr. Drew used to do Love Lines before he was the...
With Adam Carolla.
With Adam Carolla.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when I want to know about my love life, Adam Carolla is my go-to. Anyway. But I guess he was the comedic entertainment, I guess.
He was.
Fine. So celebrity Dr. Drew Pinsky has apologized for a series of statements unspooled in a recent video where he downplayed the coronavirus and suggested it was press-induced panic. I wish I had gotten it right, but I got it wrong, said Pinsky in a video posted over the weekend. Pinsky's known as Dr. Drew. Pinsky's apology was prompted by an online video that put together clips from a series of appearances he made over a two-month period. The video collects clips of Pinsky on his online show, Ask Dr. Drew, his podcast, Dr. Drew After Dark, where he feels randy, and other media appearances. Huh, I just like Pip. Just me. Thank you, Pip, for bailing me out. I got nothing on that. That was awkward. Appreciate it. Joe gave me nothing. Apparently, he takes Dr. Drew After Dark a little more seriously than I anticipated. My apologies. Now he's choking. He's getting all flush thinking about Dr. Drew After Dark.
No, that's usually when his patients pass away after dark.
God.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I don't think Joe is a fan. Anyway.
Yeah, no.
He repeatedly...
I had a laugh on that line. I didn't know if I was going to throw it or not, but I said, fuck it. No, yeah. I'm
yeah, well, we're happy you did. We're happy you did, Joe. We're thrilled
okay.
You did. The video collects clips of Pinsky on his online show, as Dr. Drew, and his After Dark. The other media appearances, he repeatedly suggested that coronavirus would not be not as bad as the flu. At one point saying, the probability of dying of coronavirus was less than being hit by an asteroid. Okay. On KTLA-TV, wow, we got a lot of asteroids hitting. On March 2nd, I'm surprised my news feed isn't filled with that. On March 2nd, he said he was angry about the press-induced panic caused by the disease. Later in the month, speaking from New York, he noted that subways were much less crowded because city officials had said to avoid riding the trains. So I am, he said. It's just ridiculous. In his apology, Pinsky noted that he was part of a chorus that was equating coronavirus to the flu. He said he didn't understand the ferocity of the illness and had been primarily looking at the number of influenza cases. While he did not say the clips had been edited in a deceptive way, he noted that in most of his appearances, he also directed viewers toward the guidance of Dr. Anthony Fauci and the Centers of Disease Control. All right. But here's, again, he's talking out of his depth. Why is he talking about this shit? Don't come back to me later on and tell me you were wrong. Don't fucking talk. You go, listen, it's not my area of expertise. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, though. If COVID-19 has a drug problem, send it my way. We'll fucking kill that bitch. I mean, seriously.
We'll fucking kill it.
You know, and like I said, you know, these guys are looking for airtime. You know, could you go on and give us some statements? Sure I can. Why not?
Yeah, but can't you be right? Can't you be factual?
No, apparently not.
Okay.
Because these guys are entertainers, you know. The foremost are entertainers. So, you know, it's trying to get out there and, you know, can you want to make some comments? Sure I do. And then you go out and with your opinions.
I guess.
You know, in these cases are wrong, you know. I'm not defending the guy, all right? So don't sit here and go, oh, you know, I'm not.
No, I can tell you don't like him.
You know, yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what, I am not hearing. I'm not hearing Joe in the defense of Dr. Drew. Well, we've never faced anything like this before. Joe's not letting Dr. Drew have that fucking leeway. He's like, fuck you, you killed rock stars.
He's a fucking murderer, yeah, but nonetheless. Besides being a murderer, he's an entertainer, you know? And you want to come on TV and say, yeah, sure I do, you know?
I guess, and like you said, it's about ratings, and Dr. Drew, I guess, or Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil, they get more eyes to the screen than an unknown doctor who actually knows what they're talking about, I guess.
Yeah,
but here's the thing, is that if you're handicapping an election night while the polls are coming in and you have to, like, blabber about something for hours while they're counting votes, that's fine. Nobody's going to die when you're blabbing about something that you're out of your depth with, and you're just kind of guessing about it. But these people listen to these people, and they go, well, you know what? My guy on television said this, so I believe it, so now I'm going to behave in a way that's not safe for me because this idiot was handicapping the pandemic and got it wrong.
Yeah, because basically in this country, and once again, it's the almighty dollar. Look, we on this show, we do our research, we have our arguments and stuff like that, but we, you know, the majority of people have their camps, whether in the CNN camp, the Fox camp, you know, what have you. So basically, you know, you have your camp, and if you have guys that fall into that camp, you know, and know that will believe you or follow you, you know, and that's how your money comes, basically you go pander to that camp. You know, every time you listen to a radio, and, you know, if you listen to talk radio, you know, and
I don't
care.
I don't care, or a cable news channel or whatever, and they have an expert on it. Mostly it is on talk radio. There's always the guy that's the expert, the politician that is the expert. And after they get done, the next thing they do is push their book. All of them has got some fucking book they're selling or something that.
Hold on, Joe. Hold on, Joe. By the way, yeah. If you want to find out where I'll be performing, go to davincomedy.com. That's davincomedy.com. Make sure you go there. If you'd like some merchandise, I have t-shirts. It's not on the website, or a DVD. Email me at davin@davincomedy.com. Go on, Joe.
And this is how we're supposed to, right, exactly. It's no different from us. We do our research. We debate. We had a big debate in the last segment. We do this and that. And usually when there's no pandemic going on, well, that's the thing that was very interesting on Trump. Joe thought this way, that's that. And then on gun control, Joe thought, all right, Joe, where are you going to be? I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Different. You're no fucking different, yeah. You know.
Where's Joe going to be? In the frozen food section arguing with someone.
Actually, I would say that.
Sunday morning, folks. Stop and Shop in Miller Place.
Can you imagine if people were like huddled around the frozen food section in the supermarket going, well, what is he going on?
Oh, I can imagine that. I really don't like his opening act, the frozen pea preacher. I don't like him at all. But I tell you what, Joe brings it home. He really plays nicely off the God vibe, because I don't think Joe believes in God.
it's all entertainment. It's all, you know, and because if it wasn't, Devin, you know, you and I would still be arguing, you know, about this shit in the car. You know, I mean, it's something that we brought, you know, that. You know, this is how I feel. That's how I did my research. You did yours. We're going over it back and forth. And we're going to be at Hardy Har Har's in Tulsa, you know, on the 17th.
I still feel if we were arguing in the car, you still would have fucked up that joke. I still feel you would have gone to Korea, even if we were in the car.
Tulsa's a big go-to.
I told you last week, Cameroon. It's a small country that sounds funny. Your go-to should be Cameroon, especially with Biden.
Cameroon is an exotic-sounding name. It's not funny.
Well, it's better than Korea, and you still get the cuss sound. Cameroon. Not every 8 days a week. Cameroon.
Cameroon. Who books that?
I played the Cameroon. All right. Trump Radio. President Donald Trump recently floated the idea of a talk radio show focused on the coronavirus crisis before abandoning the plans out of fear that it would compete with Rush Limbaugh's radio program, New York Times reported. The Times said Trump pitched the idea. Pitch. He's the fucking president. He doesn't have to pitch for the show. See Trump nervous before a fucking meeting. Hope this is my big break.
Oh, right.
It's going to be excellent. It's going to be perfect. Anyway, the Times said Trump pitched the idea for the show at a White House coronavirus task force meeting in early March. Is that really the place? Citing conversation.
Oh, there was a backstory on that, because in that meeting, Trump actually said to the people that were around him, they're like, why do you want the Lord to be in the show? Because everybody said, Jesus Christ. So.
Okay. All right. I didn't know we were going with that. All right. A little long, but
you,
all right.
You
well,
know that these, look, I'm not gonna baby powder this fucking story. You know people are going there going, Jesus.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's continue. Citing conversations with three. This is amazing. Citing conversations with. First time, long time. Citing conversations with three White House. I loved you on The Apprentice. Even before The Celebrity Apprentice, I loved your work. So happy to talk to you. Citing conversations with three White House officials who heard the pitch, the paper said the president said the show would allow him to quell Americans' fears. Oh, no, it wouldn't. And answer their questions about the pandemic directly by allowing listeners to call in and speak with him. Yes, please. But the paper said Trump backed off the idea the same day he pitched it, reasoning that he didn't want to compete with Limbaugh's widely popular conservative talk show. The Times said someone suggested Trump hold the show on weekends or in the morning. Drive time. I'm with Trump, yes, please, to avoid conflicting with Limbaugh's schedule. But Trump said he envisioned his show. This is my artistic vision. I envision the show as 2 hours a day, every day. Everybody's got a vision, Joe. He would proceed with the plans if the risk of creating competition for Limbaugh didn't exist. From information,
I,
I envision an uptick in road rage if he got.
Please let this be something. Please. First of all, scratch informational. You're not going to get a lot of that shit. You're not getting a lot of information. This is purely an entertainment show. Whether you love them or you hate them, this is must-listen-to radio. Sure, crashes into telephone poles on the side of the road will go up exponentially. We understand.
Yeah.
That being said, as Dr. Oz said, you know, you might lose 2 to 4% of the population, but, you know, you got to make some sacrifices. I'm not willing to open up the economy to raise them to COVID-19. I am willing to sacrifice 6 to 12 million people to have Trump 2 hours a day fucking babbling and taking live callers. Yes, please.
Oh my God. No. Doesn't he have something to do?
No. No, he doesn't. You can only poop tweet 8 hours a day. And then you got to watch then you got to watch 14 hours a day of the cable news. That leaves 2 hours a day. It's perfect for a radio show.
Oh God.
Let this happen. Can you but here's why it's such a bad idea for him. Because yes, you're going to get the people that are going to call him powder his ass. He's going to love that shit. You're also going to get people like me and other people who are going to bust his balls and goof on his dopey, orange, saggy, fat ass. And he's not going to like that at all. But
of course, then you're going to get a dial tone.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, after so many dial tones, he's going to fucking quit because there's going to be a lot because a lot more people hate this motherfucker than like him. And he's going to take live callers. And let me tell you something. You can lie to call screeners. You can get past them.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes, please let this happen. Rush Limbaugh, what do you get? The Medal of Freedom, whatever the fucking highest thing a civilian can get. All right, fine. You're a hero, motherfucker. Take one for the team. Let the president have the 2 hours. Don't let him compete.
When he got that Medal of Honor, I would have loved if Trump said, "All right, Nancy, go put it on him."
Funny.
Watch him try to fucking lynch him.
Fucking hang him with the medal.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, listen, all kidding aside, there's no way you could let this guy do it. You couldn't. He doesn't know what he's talking about, first of all. I mean, I do believe he's entertaining, but he's going to get very, very angry. It's going to turn very, very ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see Kellyanne Conway sitting there going, "That's a great idea. Can I do a cooking segment?"
You mean Kellyanne Conway, the one who told us, well, they've already had 18 COVIDs already, so this isn't new? That Kellyanne Conway? You dumb blonde bimbo scarecrow bitch. You're the advisor? You're the one who knows shit? Holy cow. She fucking said this and was serious. She needed devil's advocate Joe there stat. Joe needed to fucking appear like a goddamn genie. Somebody needed to blink and push that dopey bitch out of the way to explain what she was talking about.
All right, well, give me one reason why she can't do the cooking segment.
You know, well, I'll tell you why, Joe. I'll tell you why. Because it don't look like that bitch eats. Yeah, no, because she looks very skinny. It looks like food's her enemy. No, I don't trust her to cook.
Well, when you find on-air talent.
Well, what's Dr. Drew doing? What's Dr. Oz got going?
Yeah, really.
What's Dr. Phil got going? What's Joe as costumed as Dr. Phil got going? We have options.
Yeah.
We'll get the Mooch. We'll get Scaramucci back. He's entertaining.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cooking Italian food with the Mooch. Why not? We'll get legal advice from Michael Cohen. We could book a fucking show.
I tell you, the funny thing is that Scaramucci was actually on the Anthony Cumia show.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't, he thought that Ant was some dumb jock and stuff like that. And boy, did Ant skewer him, man. And he was like, "I'm gonna, I'm gonna, I'm gonna, I'm gonna."
Really? Because Scaramucci's a smart guy. He's a good talker.
Yeah, but he didn't realize Ant was. And
oh, okay, he underestimated Anthony.
Yeah, he underestimated
Ant.
I was over the house after the segment. I go, "Man, you did pretty good." He goes,
He thought it was just some fucking dumbbell jockey.
Yeah.
I realized I had my shit together, and I kind of caught it.
No, you do that. You go on there. You want to talk politics and stuff. You do that at your own peril. I always felt at a disadvantage talking with Anthony on gun stuff because he fucking lives and dies that shit. I would do it, but I admittedly knew not a lot less about the laws and the legalities than he did on that shit. But I mean, I would talk politics with Ann. I feel comfortable doing that. But you can't underestimate him.
You know, so it's not like, you know, and you've done it on Joe's show too when Joe had his show. Unfortunately, you were green. I feel bad about that.
No, I think I was orange. I think I was presidential color actually.
No, you were red.
Was I red? Okay.
You were rosy.
I felt so bad. Look, I'll go head to head, but I want a fair fight, and I felt so bad.
Yeah.
I felt awful.
It was fine. It was fine. I mean, I wasn't expecting the fucking color to blow out, but other than that, I was really surprised. You know. I mean, you go swimming with piranhas. You go swimming with piranhas. You expect there's going to be some nibbles.
Yeah.
I have
cudgel on you.
I have no misgivings or no bad feelings about that. I enjoyed myself immensely. Had fun.
Good. Because, like I said, and if you heard in the two segments ago, you and I will go toe to toe and head to head. But I want a fair fight. Man. I don't. You know, I felt awful. I really did.
That's all right. That was fun. But yeah. So. So we agree that a President Trump radio show. Immensely entertaining, probably not the best thing for the president to do.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, it would be must. It would be much listen until it stopped after week two.
Right in the middle of the show.
I can just imagine. I could just imagine like 50 so the show goes about 42 minutes an hour with breaks out of for like 35 minutes of it. It's just the president going, "That's a very nasty question."
We're going to bring Kellyanne on to give us a recipe on deviled eggs.
She looks like a deviled egg.
Look at my notepad out. I want to learn.
Look at you. Look at you.
Or dried up eggs, whichever you want to cover.
The only way I want term two of the Trump administration is if Joe is part of the cabinet. Because quite frankly, that guy's running out of people. So I think it's almost Joe's time. So if Joe gets to be part of the cabinet, I'm down with another 4 years, because that'll be fucking fun.
Can you imagine that? I'm sitting in the cabinet. What is it? I can't tell him that. I just got here, okay? I don't know. All right.
Well, plug the show. Plug the show, Joe. At least plug the show.
He's giving me a segment. Yeah, it's cooking. Because Kellyanne cooked. She could handle everything, but she wanted roast. I don't know. Deviled eggs. I learned the recipe. On a couple of shows, Ben. Yeah.
You don't know how to cook. Why is he giving you the cooking segment?
Tuesdays. It's not affecting our show, all right? I told him it's got to be Wednesday. Right.
Are you still going to have the clips up? Are you still going to get the clips? Don't let the president interfere with the clips.
He won't interfere with the clips, and I'll have to talk to Michael about Wednesday. But
do you think he could get the president to call in?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm invested. Let Joe be part of the cabinet. I'm in.
I'll tell him that it's Sean. You're actually Sean Hannity's on our show tonight, Mr. Bell. I'll call right in.
He won't fucking know the difference.
Yeah.
He'll get off the phone and go, "Wow, Sean was really mean to me tonight." Let me fire off an angry tweet about Sean Hannity. I did not like that at all. And then you would see me looking at Pip and go, "My work is done."
Oh, God.
All right.
Don't cost me my cabinet position.
Oh, please. You got 6 months tops.
Yeah.
Why do you keep calling me stupid?
Please. You would walk out of there and go, all right, you were right. I get it. But it was a cabinet position. Yeah. It goes on the resume. I'll be a special event now.
What'll happen is they'll tape a phone call of mine. An unofficial phone call of mine and go, "Boy, oh boy, you thought Scaramucci said shit."
Right?
I could just see the New York Times breaking a fucking front page story. Joe Curry, the newest cabinet member to President Trump, got caught with a woman and did something on her thigh in a hotel room.
Yeah. Oh no!
Everybody wants the Joe to resign, but the president stands behind Joe Curry. Go, Joe's a very good guy. Anybody can come on any leg. Sometimes you have to leave. You know.
believe it or not, that is not as far fetched as you would think.
I don't think it's far fetched at all.
You know, that's not far fetched at all. Is this woman would come out of the water? Do you know what he did to me at the Dawn's wedding? He splashed his sauce on my fry. He can't run a country.
I would argue that makes him more qualified.
Then I gotta be like Bill Clinton. I did not splash sauce on that woman.
No. Bill Clinton would be like, "What? You got to define what jizz. The definition of jizz.
You got to define. You know, I got to agree with Joe. He had a fence coming in wrong. You got to fence season. You got to open up the store. Got trucks to load. Get them out.
Got trucks to load. Get them out.
Trucks to load and my balls to unload.
Whoa.
Yeah, you just see a picture of me on the post, splash and run.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. Then they would ask me and Pip, and me and Pip go, "No, he seemed like such a nice guy. We didn't know."
Yeah, but no, he was never on our show.
Joe who? Never heard of him. As we fucking scrub the podcast.
Our show would be scrubbed like Pip's cat's asshole.
All of a sudden they're funny. All of a sudden our picture is just me pointing across Pip's boob.
It was 5 years ago for about 3 weeks.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Catch my breath. All right. So, do you want to do the Zoom story and then take a break?
Yeah.
All right. So in Broward County, a judge wants you to avoid dressing down for telecourt appearances. Broward Circuit Judge Dennis Bailey issued a warning to those thinking they could wear just anything. "It's remarkable how many attorneys appear inappropriately on camera," the judge wrote in the letter posted on the Weston Bar Association website. "We've seen many lawyers in casual shirts and blouses with no concern for ill grooming in bedrooms, with the master bed in the background, etc. One male lawyer appeared shirtless, and one female attorney appeared still in bed, still under the covers." I gotta say, I think the judge has a point.
He's got an absolute point.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's court.
You know, I mean, just, you know what? If you're gonna be a boy, you know what you do? You wear your sweatpants. You get a dress shirt, don't have to tuck it in and put a tie on, and at least you look presentable. But if you're showing up like Mr. Green Jeans, you know, it's a problem.
Who in their right mind would even on Zoom would face a judge shirtless?
Well, again, Florida.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, there we go.
All right. Yeah. Now, like, have you done Zoom? Work meetings?
No, we've been using the phone because my department is really small. But I can imagine the chaos if we did, because then she'd be able to see me giving her the finger.
But would you guys dress appropriately?
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe?
Yeah. We did the Zoom thing for John LaRocchi's benefit. I made sure I was properly attired. I did a Zoom on Easter with friends. You know, we did the Zoom. I made sure I was dressed appropriate. And if I was doing a Zoom for work, I'd make sure I look appropriate.
Yeah, I agree. I think you got to take a little pride in yourself. Realize you still is a place of business. You're still in the clock. I get it. You're at home, but you know, put yourself together. Shave, wash yourself.
Although, do you remember in the Batman movie where Jack Nicholson was the Joker and he had put toxic chemicals into all of the makeup, and so they ended up with like distorted Joker faces if they used makeup. So then there's a scene where they had all the newscasters, none of them were using any kind of health and beauty products, so they all look like a hot mess with like zits and their hair all over the place and unshaven. That's like, that's pretty much what America looks like during their Zoom meetings right now.
Yeah. I haven't shaved in about three weeks. I haven't shaved my, I cut my hair or shaved my head in over a month. You know, I might, unfortunately, with they're going to probably have the wake for my aunt, I think, either Thursday or Friday. I'm obviously have to clean up for that. But I don't, you know, I just look like a bum because I don't have to shave for gigs or anything like that. So I'm like, fuck it.
All right. So we all agree, dress up, you fucking filthy animals.
Yes,
truly.
All right, let's take our last break. We'll come back with some scammy scammers with Lacey. On the break, we got new music from Wild with Wasted. So the band is Wild, the song is Wasted. And Laura Beckwith with Not In Love. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. So enjoy those songs, and we will be back, in a touch under 8 minutes.